Beautiful day outside. Glad you're here with us. If you got your outline, make sure you pull out your outline today. And by the way, does anybody need any extra? We've got several extra up here. Raise your hand if anybody needs any. Every time you see a yellow word that is underlined, make sure that you pull that out and say, hey, I got to fill in something. Not too much stuff today to fill in, but it's going to give you help you follow along with the message today. And we've been talking about how to grow spiritually. And I'm excited Jonathan and Heather are here. I am so excited. Their children, this is exciting times here at Forest Mill. Amen. Because I believe God is wanting us to go to a new level here. And I believe when we talk about growing spiritually, one of the aspects of that is understanding your spiritual gifts. Because you're not going to know how to serve to the best of your ability unless you know what God wants you to do. And I believe with all my heart that God has given every person in this room who has been baptized into Christ, you have received spiritual gifts from God. So without further ado, let's review. I want to talk about kind of where we were last week, and I really appreciate the open hearts. I really appreciate everybody here having an open spirit to talking about this. This is a very controversial, can be, among all the denominations. And I don't have all the answers for this thing, and please don't think that I've come to a, you know, where I've got it all down, and I'm still trying to figure this out myself, as I know you are. So relax, there's no agenda here other than, but the goal of this is to help us know how to serve here. How we can best serve here, you know? So you don't have to agree with me, but I am going to tell you one thing. I want you to dig. I want you to be a good Berean and really dig in the Word with this thing. Don't just listen to it and say, well, Chris said it, it must be true. No, no, no. I want you to get in the Word yourself, and you come to your own conclusion, okay? So we can agree on two things, and I think it's important today to come to that agreement and say, yeah, God has given us gifts, and we need to discover what they are and get to work. Amen? That's the bottom line today, okay? Regardless of where you stand on this thing, I think that's where we need to stand. So last week we talked about a spiritual gift is a God-given special ability given to every believer at baptism by the Holy Spirit for the purpose of edifying, serving, and encouraging the church. It is simply to serve. It is not meant for selfish purposes. It is meant to edify, to build up the body. Spiritual gifts are not the same as the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know, we receive that gift of the Spirit in baptism. And it's not the same as the fruits of the Spirit, okay? God makes the very distinction in His Word about spiritual gifts. So it's there for a reason. And we, as believers, maybe you've never heard a message on spiritual gifts before. We need to talk about it. It's there in the text. We said last week that spiritual gifts are not the same as natural talents. Now, and I think it's important to understand when you say that, to understand that natural talents are the abilities I get from God in my physical DNA when I was born. Maybe you're good at painting. Maybe you're a good musician. Maybe you're, you know, weird, and that's your gift, okay? I'm weird. I got a gift of weirdness. But that's a natural talent. The spiritual gifts are the abilities I get from God in my spiritual DNA when I am spiritually born again on the inside. When I am baptized, I am born again on the inside, okay? And we receive those abilities from God to serve and edify His church. So can God use our natural talents for His glory? Absolutely. I would tell you today, if you've got a gift for art, you know, if you go to Doyle's house, he's got a gift for wood carving, absolutely beautiful wood carving. Use that for the glory of God. But I want you to understand today that you also have received a spiritual gift or gifts. It can be more than one, okay, that God's given you to serve His body. So my goal with these messages is to help you understand and identify your spiritual gifts and help you see how you fit, okay? I had a brother come to me a couple weeks ago and said, I don't know where I fit in the church here. What does God want me to do? And I said, bingo, Batman, this is what we need to talk about. Because this has been on my heart a lot, and I know some of the classes have been talking about this, so I believe the Lord really wants us to understand about this more. Now, if you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, you don't have the spiritual gift yet, you will. But just understand, this is one of the benefits of being a follower of Jesus. So this week we're going to talk about how do we discover these gifts that God's given us. Let's pray together as we begin. Lord God Almighty, there is no God like you. You are the one who created all things, and you are holy and worthy. This is your church, and we're your people, and we're honored to be your people. And Lord, we thank you that you even invite us to be a part of what you're doing in your church. We're thankful that there's even gifts we can talk about. And I know, Lord, there's a lot of confusion about lots of different opinions, lots of different things. And I'm approaching this with a lot of humility, Lord, and we just ask that you teach us today, that your Holy Spirit will teach us. Open our eyes. Maybe we have some things that we've thought all along, and Lord, maybe we need to be challenged a bit today. We ask that your Spirit, Father, will lead us and guide us into all truth. We thank you this day for your love and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. So our plan today is this, and it'll be 30 minutes, I promise you. We're going to walk through each passage. We're going to discover the 21 gifts. And then the question I want to challenge and ask you today is, have the miraculous gifts ceased? Because that's what's on everybody's mind here today. You can't talk about this without this topic being brought up. So I think that's an important thing to talk about. You're going to get a green thingamajob when you leave today. This is a take-home spiritual gifts explanation inventory. And I'm going to have these young men over here hand them out here in just a little bit towards the end. Okay, so that's kind of where we're going today. Now, there's four main passages on spiritual gifts. Ephesians 4, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and 1 Peter 4. Okay, so these are the main passages we'll look at today. Spiritual gifts are useless without love. They're nada without love. They're nothing without love. So I want to come at this from a foundational standpoint. Love is the most important thing we can be doing in the church. Okay, it's not the gifts as much as it is loving each other. All right? So I want you to remember, too, that spiritual gifts are not a hierarchy. It's not like one person is better than the other, or he's got this gift and she's better than him. And no, in the church, everyone is equal. Paul makes the point that we are the body, we need each other, and we're all needed to fulfill God's purpose. So all of these 21 gifts, except for one, the gift of being an elder, are not gender specific. In other words, they're open to either male or female. And I think that's very important to start off with that and help you understand that. The Spirit of God determines what gift each person in this room has. So if they have a gift of, like we'll talk about prophecy later, that's the Spirit's purpose for that person. All right? So understand that from the start. They are not gender specific. So, we asked the Apostle Peter, hey Peter, how would you explain spiritual gifts? Peter would break it down into two things. He says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So Peter would say, in the body of Christ, there are speaking gifts and there are serving gifts. Okay? We have two categories now that we're working with. Paul now is going to add seven more gifts from Romans 12. Let's listen. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Remember the word charismata, the word gift, is grace given. They are not earned, they are not deserved. You don't have to pray for them. God gives them to you, okay? He says, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Now, very simply, we can break down from Peter's text, serving gifts, speaking gifts. Serving gifts would be giving, leadership, mercy. Mercy's benevolence, showing kindness to the poor, and service, just being a general servant. Speaking gifts, Paul mentions prophecy, teaching, and encouragement. Okay? Now, the one that will stand out to all of us, I think they're all pretty self-explanatory to most of us. But the one we look at kind of funny is prophecy. Now, in the Old Testament, prophets are called and sent by God. You know, God says, hey, Jeremiah, I want you to go over there and tell them this. And Jeremiah went. Prophets were covenant reinforcement mediators. In other words, they were constantly reminding Israel, hey, Israel, you got married to the Lord and you're not fulfilling your vows. You need to repent. You need to change your ways. Okay? So that's what prophets were. They always had messages laced with hope, but also messages of repentance. All right? So are there prophets today? Well, the office of prophet is closed. All right? We don't need it anymore because we have the complete revelation of God in the 66 books of the Bible. We don't need the office of prophet anymore. But while the office of prophet is closed, the function is here. All right? So it's not like God comes down and says, hey, go over here and tell this person that. No, we got his word, and now preachers function in this arena. And Paul says it, do it, prophesy in proportion to their faith. In other words, preach from your conviction. And I hope you hear that from me. I am very convicted about truth. I am very convicted about Jesus Christ and the truth of God's word. Okay? So the office of prophet is closed. The function is here. I hope that makes sense to you. But preachers would fall into that category. Now, what if you are a female and have the gift of prophecy? Well, this doesn't stop Beth Moore or Joyce Meyer from doing what they do. And they do a fantastic job of it. I've heard Beth Moore speak. She's a fantastic speaker. Very gifted. Women need to find creative ways to use their gifts. That is an important thing that we're going to wrestle with as we talk about these different gifts. Women have to find creative ways to use their gifts. Now, we jump into Ephesians 4. And now we come into the leadership of the church. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. Okay? So, we add five more gifts to the list. These gifts have to do with the leadership of any congregation in the world. Every church needs a fivefold ministry to be effective. Okay? We need pastors. We need elders. Those are interchangeable words. We need prophets, we need preachers, we need evangelists. Evangelists is someone who shares the good news, who loves to sit down with a Bible study, loves to talk with somebody who's lost. That's me. That's my passion. I absolutely love that. An apostle, and we'll come back to this in just a minute. And then we have teachers. So now you're seeing how these gifts are lining up and where they fit. What is the purpose of leadership? Well, it's to prepare God's people for works of service. That's why we're here, so that we can reach our community for Christ, so that they can come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. What's real interesting is the word prepare is a medical term. It means the setting of bones. It's a term that doctors would use when they would set someone's bones back together, all right? So the ultimate purpose of the church, which to me is God's hospital for sinners, is to take broken people who come to church, reset them, prepare them, and send them out to do the very same thing. That is the purpose, is to prepare God's people for works of service, to reset them, to take broken people. And that's this whole room right here. There is a lot of brokenness in this room. You have been hurt deeply. You've been betrayed. And God says, you're here to receive healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing. And it's amazing to me how God uses what Henry and Allen called wounded healers in the church. Isn't it amazing how when you have gone through a difficulty in your life, maybe you've gone through the cancer, you've gone through the divorce, you've gone through, you know, losing a child, and how God brings you people to your life that are going through the very same thing. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1, he says, you're to do that to comfort those who need comforting. See, God is working in our lives every single day. And you gotta wake up and you gotta smell the coffee and you gotta realize, I'm on a mission. God's using my life. And ask him every day, Lord, what can I do for you today? You are Lord. What can I do to bring you glory? So what will happen when the elders and the evangelists focus on preparing God's people for works of service? It's an amazing thing. The body of Christ is built up. There is unity and there is maturity. And that's what we want. We don't want you just to come to sit in a pew and then leave. We want you to grow. We want you to be mature, to be unified, to be built up. That brings God glory. So the gift that we all were wondering about just a minute ago is the gift of apostleship. It was he who gave some to be apostles. Now, in the first century church, apostles were the head dogs, okay? They ran the ship, all right? But just like the prophet, while the office of prophet and apostle are closed, the function of them are still here today. Apostle means a messenger, one who is sent. So we consider missionaries today, people that go into foreign lands to start new projects, new churches, to have the gift of apostleship. They're not the same as Paul. They're not the same as the 12. That office is closed, okay? But the function is still there, and the gift is still there. And if you ever met some missionaries on the field, you start seeing all these people are called here. You can tell because God has gifted them. It takes, you know, a lot to walk into a village where you hardly even know the language and to start a church. You want a challenge for your life, go to a foreign country and learn the language and try to start congregations and teach God's word. It's very humbling. So I hope that makes sense. As the prophet and the apostle part, the function is still alive today. So we having fun yet? You ready to say amen? Amen? Are you with me? Say amen. Amen. Are you awake? Say amen. Amen. Do you like coffee? Say amen. Amen. All right. So we've talked about 12 gifts. 12 gifts so far. You can count them later on. Don't worry. We have 9 to go. And these are the ones that are the most controversial. Okay? Now, are these issues of salvation? Absolutely not. Okay? You don't have to believe in any of them. Okay? That's your choice. Jesus Christ and his cross is enough to save you, all right? But the point is, you know, I think we need to look at these and ask ourselves, is it true? Challenge ourselves. Is it an issue of fellowship? We can fellowship with other people from other denominations that may have different thoughts about the gifts than you and I do. But we fellowship with them because we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and they believe that too. We kind of find our common unity in Jesus. So that's the point of as we walk through these gifts. Now, 1 Corinthians 12. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. To the one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing, by that one Spirit, to another miracles, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits. That would be the gift of discernment. To another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them, listen to this, just as he determines. We go back to the idea, God decides who gets what gift. Okay? So now we have these gifts from 1 Corinthians 12 added. Under the serving gifts, you have healing, administration, miracles, wisdom. Under the speaking gifts, you have discernment and knowledge and faith and tongues and interpretation. So you have now you see how it's all kind of laid out before you. Now, the question that everybody asks is, have these gifts ceased? Has healing, administration, miracles, tongues, all these different ones, have they ceased? Let's let Scripture answer the question. Now, eagerly desire the greater gifts, Paul says. Follow along with me. And now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. So why is Paul talking about love? Why is he stopping in 12? He just talked about it, and now he's... Because the Corinthians had said, tongues are the deal. They said, man, we are so important because we speak in tongues. We are so important, and we're the most spiritual people around. And Paul says, no, you're not. He says, love is the evidence of a truly spiritual person. All right? And I don't know who said this, but I love it. Love is the circulatory system of the body of Christ. Amen? Amen. So Paul is talking about love because they had elevated the gift above everything else. He continues to explain what love is, and I can't pass over this text. It's one of the most beautiful texts in all Scripture. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will pass away. Where there are tongues, they will cease. And where there is knowledge, it will pass away. I want you to notice those three things. Prophecies, tongues, knowledge are mentioned and brought out. We'll come back to that. All right? Now, two things people do with this text. They say, okay, the miraculous gifts, tongues, miracles, healings, interpretation, were given to authenticate the apostles in their writings in the early church. But those gifts have ceased once the entire New Testament was written and the apostles died. That is a very common held belief among many congregations, many churches teach that. There are other churches that teach this, that all the gifts are still operable today until Christ's return. Now, this view seems to fit the context better, and I'm going to tell you why, all right? And don't get nervous. Not nervous, are we? All right, we can have fun with this as we go through it. Listen to what Paul says after this. We know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. Now, I used to read this text, and I have a lot of texts that I'm going to ask Paul in heaven, what on earth were you talking about? 2 Thessalonians 2, the man of lawlessness, I don't have a clue. That's an Ask Paul text. There's a couple other texts in Romans, and actually every one of his letters has, like Peter said, difficult things to understand. I used to think, I can't understand this text, but the more I looked at it, the more I thought, well, maybe we can. Maybe there is some answers to this text. So what is the perfect? What does he mean when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away? Well, the partial is the knowledge and the prophecy. Interesting, tongues is not mentioned in that. I think his point is to say this, and you can have another thought on this, that's fine. It's not a salvation issue. But our knowledge of God is partial. I think you'll agree with me on that. I think the more I read the Bible, the more questions I have. God is not something you put in a box and you say, you know, I got God all figured out. He's real easy to figure out. God is all-knowing. God is all-powerful. I mean, you start getting into who God is, and I mean, this is off the chart when you talk about who God is. And Jesus has come down to show us what God is like. And I'm going to tell you right now, when we start looking at who God is, our knowledge is partial. It is partial. And I think we need to understand today that God is not something you can put in a box and understand quickly. I think we need to approach him with much humility. Now pull out your outlines and follow along with me. So the two primary beliefs that people have, the tongues have ceased or they have not ceased, all right? So our knowledge of God, our understanding of love is imperfect. It's partial, all right? In contrast with what it will be when we see him face to face. What is the perfect here? I think in the context, what makes the most sense, and we're going to go through this again. We'll come back to it. What makes the most sense is when complete love returns again. When Jesus Christ, who is love, comes again. We will completely know and understand God's love for us. To me, it makes the most sense because he comes later and says, now I know partially, I shall know him face to face. Okay? So, let's run to this text and I'll run through here with me again. I'll show you what I'm talking about. Whoop. There's a sense that there's a part of God we don't grasp yet. We are human. We are finite. We cannot fully wrap our minds around God. But when you stand face to face with Jesus Christ one day, and you will see him, you will see those nail scars in his wrists, you will see him, those nail scars in his feet, you will know love. Because you will be fully known at that point. You will know. When that perfect comes. Paul says, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. What he's saying here, I think, is he's saying children tend to focus on the temporary. And you Corinthians are focusing on temporary things. You're just like children. You're focusing on the tongues. You're focusing on the temporary things. When you should be an adult and focus on love. And that's his point. That's why he brings that analogy in. He then goes on to say, for now we see only dimly as in a mirror. Did you know mirrors were made in Corinth? They were made of bronze. And after they would polish them, you could see yourself, but not clearly. You could see yourself dimly. So he uses this analogy about our understanding, our partial knowledge of Christ and of God. For we see only dimly as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. That describes exactly where we are right now. We see dimly. We don't see it all clearly. We have faith. We're trusting in God. But we don't see it all yet. So when Jesus returns and we see him face to face, we will know him fully, even as God already knows us now fully. That was his point. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. God knows you and I fully. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows every part of you. He knows what you're struggling with. He knows what you're thinking right now. He knows the next word that's going to be on your mouth. Our God is so intimately acquainted with each of us. And one day, we will know him. Is that good news? Huh? Can you say amen? Isn't that what your heart is desiring? Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, God has placed eternity in the hearts of man. That is what you and I are craving. That love, to know God fully. I talked to a guy yesterday. He said, I have been looking for truth, the true religion. I said, look no more. It's found in Jesus Christ. Everybody wants to know that. God says it's going to happen one day. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Is there going to be a need for faith standing before Jesus? Any need for faith? Come on, talk to me. Okay, is there going to be any need for hope? But there's going to be some need for love, right? Love goes through all eternity. It doesn't stop here, guys. It goes through all forever. And that's why Paul says the greatest is love. So, let's review it very quickly so you get a picture of what's going on. Where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are prophecies, they will pass away. There are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. We have that partial knowledge. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. For now we see only dimly as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, and then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Therefore, spiritual gifts will cease, not when the New Testament was completed in 100 AD. That is reading your opinions into the text. But it's when Christ returns and we see him face to face. There's no need for spiritual gifts in heaven. Your natural abilities, yes. Spiritual gifts, it's already done. There'll be no longer any need for that. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Say amen. Y'all understand? I hope that makes sense to each of you today. And here's my 2 cents. And not that it matters, but I know what some of you are probably thinking, gee, what do you think about all this stuff? Well, let me give you my 2 cents and then we'll stop for the day, okay? Miracles and healing. While only God can do miracles and does not work directly through human beings as he did the apostles, God will often use people in his church, prayer warriors, doctors, nurses, counselors, to release healing to people who are sick, physically, emotionally, spiritually. I firmly believe that. God's gifted people in his church to serve, to help in those areas. And that's my take on miracles. You don't have to agree with that, but that's what I believe the Lord is working in that area today. And I don't have a problem with saying what God did was a miracle, because you and I can testify, we know people who have been healed of cancer, and the doctors go, I have no clue. So we have to know that God is still in the miracle and healing business. Tongues and interpretation, then we'll be done right after this. While I do not judge anyone who has this gift, I also have trouble understanding the purpose of it being in the church today. This gift is only effective if someone genuinely has the gift of interpretation and can share it with the body. Only then it should be shared in church. Otherwise, I encourage people who have this gift to do it at home. And I've met a lot of people that do have it. Paul's point is, gifts should edify and encourage the church. Tongues are for self-edification, and Paul says he would rather speak 5 words of prophecy than 10,000 words in a tongue. So that's kind of where I'm on that. But I do believe it exists today. I do believe people have this gift. I don't understand it. I don't understand why, what the purpose of it is, but I do believe it exists today. So is knowing your spiritual gift important? Absolutely. Is it the most important thing? No. Because remember, the way to measure if you're growing spiritually, remember this, am I growing more in love with God and his people? That's the bottom line. So, we got some young men that are going to hand out some stuff. Come on up here, guys. I need about six, seven people. We're going to hand these out to you, and you can take them home. These are for adults and teenagers. We got enough, I think, for everybody. So if you want one, if you don't want one, you don't have to have one. Excuse me. Oops, sorry. Here's one right here. So what you're going to do with this is you're going to read the descriptions of each gift. And I know what you're thinking right now. You're thinking, man, dog, Chris, you are really serious about this spiritual gift stuff. Yes, I am, and I want to tell you why. Because I want to see everybody here understand what God has called you to do. So what you'll do is you'll read the descriptions of each gift, ask yourself if you think you might have this gift, go through all 20 gifts and answer yes, maybe, or no. Just go take some time this week, this afternoon if you want, and I want you to base it on past experience, all right? Not what you wish you could do in the future. And then choose three gifts that you believe are your strongest ones. I think everybody gets at least one gift. You may only find that there's one that really stands out for you. That's fine. But I would like for you to share it with someone that who knows you well. Maybe talk to your spouse, talk to your family, and ask them, what do you think about this? Do you think this would be my gift? Because, you know, your spouse often can say, well, no, I don't think that's your gift. And be very blunt with you and say, you know, that's not right. Because they know you probably better than you think they know you. All right, so that's your homework for the week. Okay, next Sunday's Mother's Day. We're going to celebrate our mothers. We're going to celebrate dedicating some of our children to the Lord. But 2 weeks from now, I'm going to hand you out a spiritual gift inventory. I didn't want to give you too much today, too much to overload you. It's already a lot already, I know. But I'm going to give you an inventory thing that I want you to go through on your own. That's very good. And if you have an interest in studying this more, there's stuff there. There's books. There's actually a very good inventory by Peter Wagner that you can buy for $4.95 on Amazon.com. So with that being said, I hope it has helped you understand today kind of where spiritual gifts lie. You don't have to agree with me, but I thought we would look at that together. Today, if you have not begun your walk with God, I want to encourage you today, if you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you say, yes, I believe with all my heart, I know I'm lost, I know I'm a sinner, I can't save myself, and I'm ready to change my ways, and I'm ready to go God's way in my life. It's called repentance, and it's a lifetime of repentance that we all deal with in our lives. But initially, when God comes to us, you don't have to know the whole Bible. I met somebody a couple weeks ago that said they thought they had to understand the whole Bible before they were baptized. And I said, that ain't going to happen. Come to Jesus now. If you understand, the things that I understand 24 years ago was, I'm a great sinner, and Jesus Christ is a great Savior. And I'm lost without Him. Baptism is where we begin our walk with God. We can baptize you today into Christ. You can begin your walk with God. And you can say, yes, I know I'm clean. I know I'm forgiven because God accepts you as you are. Maybe today you just need prayer. Whatever you need, won't you come as we stand and sing.
I surrender all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence. Daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Thank you again for being here today. It's been a real blessing to be with you. Be sure and welcome our new families, the Tuckers, the Clutters, the Mets. Say hi to them and welcome them. One other note, just want to add on to the folks that are going on the Honduras mission trip. They actually leave on the 12th, so if you're able to help with that financially, see Glenn Davis or one of the shepherds, and we'll need to do that before next Sunday. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the beautiful day. Thank you for this church family. Father, we pray that as we leave this place today, that we will be a blessing to everyone that we come in contact with. Father, we're thankful for our new families. Father, we just pray your blessings on them. And Father, we pray that you'll go with us this week. In Jesus' name, amen.